then before then was December 7th, 1941.
Right.
And Pearl Harbor Day. What do you remember about that day?
Oh, I remember that I had been home for the weekend, and I took the bus from Henrietta back to Ada. And when I got off the bus and got in a cab to go out to the university, to the school, the driver said, "Do you know anything about Pearl Harbor?" And I said, "Never heard of it." And he told me what had happened. So, of course, when I got to school, everybody was talking about it. And we sat on the floor, on the first floor of the dorm, and watched Roosevelt as he told about this day of infamy.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a scary feeling, or you didn't understand?
Oh, we were shocked. And, of course, by the next morning, the men were lined up in order to get into the service.
Right.
Everybody was patriotic.
Young men, maybe some teachers, too,
lined up. Oh, yes.
Right. So then what was your first teaching job?
It was at a consolidated school called Fox. I don't know whether it's still there or not, but it was right in the middle of the oil area. And at night, you could hear those oil wells.
Okay.
Ooh. And if they didn't, it woke you up.
So that was your first teaching job in 1942, I guess it would
yes.
be then, right? But did some of your students actually go to war?
Oh, almost all the boys, if they hadn't already signed up, they did as soon as they graduated. And I made a habit of writing to them. And they wrote back. Of course, you never knew exactly where they were. Mm-hmm. And I remember one young man, I had written to him, and I got my letters back in a pack. And it was sent to me by his officer. And he said, "I don't know who you are." But he was always so grateful to get your letters. And he had been killed, of course. And the officer sent it back. And he said, "I'd like to know more about you." So I wrote to the officer for about 2 years. And then I got those letters back because he had been killed.
It had to be an uncomfortable feeling for you then to get those letters returned to you.
Yes.
Let's do a little bit about music back then, music of the 40s. Who did you like? Was it big band?
Anything that was danceable.
So
I loved the rhythm.
And I bet you were a good dancer.
I loved dancing. I still like to dance if anybody has enough courage to ask me.
And you are, as people should be reminded, 101 years old.
Yes.
It's almost hard to believe that you are that old as I talk to you. But so was it Glenn Miller who was?
Oh, yes. And, of course, so many of them traveled overseas with their group.
Right.
With their orchestras. And they played for the boys while they were in overseas.
Do you recall a big band coming around here that you would have?
See, I wasn't in Tulsa. I was raised in Henrietta, and I stayed there. After the war, when the war was going to be over, I came to Tulsa one weekend because I had a girlfriend who worked for the Tribune. And I went in to see her on Saturday morning. And that's how I got a job. The man who was in charge of that department said he had a friend who had just opened an employment office. And that was the first one Tulsa had. It was called the Loveless Employment Agency because you had gone through something supported by the state to find a job. And so I talked to him, and I said, "Well, I'll go over and fill out a form." And he said, no, I'll mail it to you. And I said, "Mr. Loveless, if you don't have anybody over there on weekends to take care of prospects, you need me in your office." And he hired me without ever seeing me. And it was while I was in his office that Mary Clay Williams from TU, Dr. Williams, and Dr. George Small walked in. I recognized George Small because my senior year in college, we had been in Kansas, I don't remember what university, for a speech tournament. And my cohort and I had won the women's division of that department, of that tournament. And I remember him as one of the judges that last night. And I recognized him, and he recognized me. So after they told Loveless what they wanted. They wanted somebody at TU who would be their office manager. I said, I want that job. So I went out, interviewed, got the job. I said, can I open a have a debate team?
At TU?
At TU. So I went over that Thursday evening at 5 o'clock. I had put a little note up. And I had lots of people show up. And some of my students later became judges. Judge Nelson that we had. McSood was one of them. We had wonderful people out there. And I taught for a year and a half, and we even had a tournament the next year, a debate tournament there. So after that, it just sort of died and went away.
Okay, so then you ended up, you came out just to be an office manager, right?
Yes.
But then you actually taught a speech course.
Right. And while I was doing that, Ben Henneke came in and said, I want you to teach in the speech department. And I said, Mary Clay, ask her. So he went in and she said yes. And while I was out there, Bob Stanley walked in one day. Because in those days, if the fraternities and the sororities wanted to have a party, Ed had to have it listed in the office. And he walked in to list that the KAs wanted a party. And I saw him. And he next day he came back and said, will you go and have coffee with me? And I said, we don't go for coffee. And he said, I'll ask Mary Clay. So he goes in, asks her. She follows him out the door, and she had her fingers up here in this little circle. It's okay to go out with him. And we walked in the student union, and the KAs were all lined up over here waiting. It seems that he had said, if I come back in here with her, you know that's the woman I'm going to marry. And they waited. And we came in, sat down, and had coffee. And I wrote to my mother that night, and I said, he doesn't know it, but that's the man I'm going to marry.
So you hit it off right away?
Oh, yes.
Was he older than you?
No. We were both in July. In fact, I was about 5 days older than he.
And he'd been in the service, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah.
And he was back to finish
his
degree. How long were you married?
We were only married 11 and a half years, and he died of lung cancer in 1959.
His family owned Stanley's funeral.
Right. Home. It had been started in 1909. And Bob had worked there before he went into service. And, of course, when he came back and had finished college, we went to Dallas to mortuary school. And he was down there for a year and got his license, two licenses, funeral directors and embalmers. And came back and went in with his dad. And he worked with him, of course, until he died in July of 1959. That's when he told me, he said, I want you to do this. He said, don't try to do the embalming, but be a funeral director. So after he died, I did. I got my license in 1960.
Had you thought even all along that you'd like to be in the business, maybe? Or?
Oh, well, not until then.
Okay.
But then, of course, I did. I wound up as a partner.
And then you were with Stanley's for how many years?
Well, Stanley's was sold in the end of 1995. And they rehired my son and me as funeral directors after we had sold it. And then both of us left and at the end of 2003 and went to work for Moores in 2004.
You mentioned Dr. Ben Henneke. I have interviewed him for VoicesOfOklahoma.com.
Oh, yes.
And
he had a voice.
He did. He was a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
And
where did he live then? Out at St. Simeon?
Yes, he did. He lived mm-hmm. at St. Simeon's. And TU today has a lot to thank him for what he did in
yes.
his work back in those years. You and Bob had children?
Three.
And who? What are their names?
The oldest one is Lynn. She was at Holland Hall for 28 years. She was head of their phys ed department for women. And her name is Lynn. And then the middle one was Lane, or D. Lane. And she lives in St. Louis at the present. And the youngest one is Bob, and he funeral director. Also, he owned a liquor store for almost 30 years.
Really? In here?
It was Collins out on Yale. And he sold it this last May.